Hello and welcome to the Lincoln County Gardener, a weekly segment broadcast on KYAQ Newport, where the Lincoln County Master Gardeners bring you weekly conversations on a variety of gardening topics. Master Gardeners are local community members trained in scientifically based gardening techniques by Oregon State University Extension Service, so we'll be sharing research-based and locally relevant information. My name is Ross, I'm a Lincoln County Master Gardener, and I'll be your host this week. With me today is Tom Green, one of the co-coordinators of the Waldport Demonstration Garden, which is the topic of today's episode. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you. You're very welcome, Ross. Nice to be here.
So would you start us off by talking a little bit about the history of this demo garden?
Sure. It's actually a very short history. It used to be in Yahats, and they lost the property, weren't able to continue with the garden there, so 2 years ago moved all of the materials for the raised beds up to the Waldport Garden on the Oregon Coast Community College campus. And so we've just sort of rebuilt it over the last couple of years in that location.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a fun challenge.
It's a great challenge. Yeah, it was really fun because we got to site things, you know, the way that seemed to make sense for us, and brought in the materials to fill the beds, and were able to kind of build things the way we were hoping to do.
Mm-hmm. So okay. What was it like designing and setting up and dealing with fresh new beds?
Oh, this was an interesting process, and I came in towards the end of the actual initial setup at Waldport. And the beds that they moved from Yahats are a composite material, which is made of a concrete mix and plastic bags, I believe. It's not permeable, so it contains the soil and the water and everything else, but they're heavy as heck. And, you know, these are slabs that are 3 feet high and 8 feet long. And so, you know, it took a lot to move them. And then they're held together in the corners by metal plates. But once those kind of got in position, which took some hefting, we filled the bottom with sticks and other kind of small branches, and then we usually put in a layer of cardboard on top of that. And then we got, I think that we got it from Dahl, which is right down the street, a load of sandy loam and topsoil that we then mixed at 50-50 ratios, and then put a topper on top of more commercial-like with perlite and absorbent kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have to buy potting soil for the whole bed.
That would have been expensive. But yeah, so they just came in and dumped a few yards of each, and then we would just wheelbarrow it and pile it up. And of course, there's been some settling, you know, as the soil sifts down between branches and things. So we still have some there that we will add to the beds, you know, to keep them up towards the top. But it was pretty physical work. Like I said, we have 14 beds, so that's a lot of toting. But we had a good crew. You know, we had lots of people. We have lots of fun. We've got some bakers among our garden group, so they always bring goodies, and nobody goes away hungry or unhappy.
You make it into a little party.
Absolutely. Well, you know, master gardeners are kind of like that. They like to have fun. And so we do. Mm-hmm. You know, despite everything else, all the hard work, it's fun.
Mm-hmm. Do the branches cause any problems for the growing beds at all?
Or
do
Not
they just
at all.
Sit down there?
No, no. In fact, they're probably smaller than my little finger, or that's about the diameter of most of them. So they're cuttings that people have done when they're pruning their yards. And so they just lay those in the bottom to form a base for it. Yeah, it worked really well. They're all really happy and healthy.
So what are sort of the major features that you constructed and shaped the garden around?
Well, it's a fence garden because of our deer friends, our dear friends, so they don't eat all of our produce. And it does have a locked gate at the moment. There's two sheds on the property. One houses a solar panel with a pump for water and tools, and the other is more just storage. There are 14 raised beds of differing sizes, and there's a blueberry patch, as well as a vertical garden.
That's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. Yeah, it's a big garden.
So what improvement projects did you accomplish last year? Although you don't really need to do much improvement if it's such a young garden.
You know, we continue to keep down weeds. We continue to make the spaces in the gardens useful. There are a lot of different projects coming in and coming out. Kind of lacks some definition, I think, which we hope to improve on this year. So basically, we've been able to fill the beds with good material, and they're all ready for this year's planting.
Nice, fertile, ready to get planting.
Yeah, they're all covered with cover crops right now, mostly crimson clover. And in the next couple of weeks, we'll probably go and cut that down and work that into the soil, you know, to preserve the nitrogen that they've fixed in the soil.
Mm-hmm. So you planted cover crops last fall and then let them grow over the winter?
Yes, yeah. And they're doing great. It's just a really bumper crop of cover crops.
Was this the first year that you did that?
No, we did it last year too. And that worked just as well too. There are still a few beds that we didn't plant in cover crops. One has a bed for pollinators that was designed to have something blooming all year round, so pollinators would have a source for food. And another is filled with strawberries.
Mm-hmm. So we'll have to have you or someone else from the demo garden back on just to do a whole episode about cover crops, because that's just a fascinating topic.
It is. It's a great topic.
So what's going to be growing in these nice, fertile beds this year?
Good question. We're still in the process of finding who wants to come work there, but we do have several commitments. We will have the pollinator bed, but we're going to amend that, I believe, with plants that can be used as sources for dyes, which should be really interesting. We will continue with the blueberry patch in the back, which is kind of an experiment, really, of several different types of blueberries. We will plant some tomatoes this year. We've got some tomato lovers that want extra space. We've, in the past, have done square foot gardens where we lay out a grid on one of the beds and plant, you know, lettuces or kale or other kinds of things and just one square foot to show you don't need a lot of space to have a productive garden. We've got some artichokes, one in a bed and several in the ground. I think those are the commitments we have so far.
Why did you decide to do dye plants?
Well, the master gardener that's going to do that just has an interest. You know, we can't really do medicinal plants.
Yes.
There are just some issues around that. And so this is a way to use plants in a very constructive kind of way, certainly steeped deeply in history. And so it's a good experiment for another way to garden in the on the coast.
Yeah, explore the different utilities that plants can provide besides just blooms or vegetables.
Exactly. Yep.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
So are there going to be any particular events or classes that are going to be taking place in the garden?
Well, in April, we're doing part of the Grow Your Own series. We'll actually be doing seed starting. And so we'll have tables set up, bins of soil, containers, seeds, seed packets so people can take things home, as well as plant some on the spot and show some best practices for starting seeds.
Are those seeds then going to get planted in the garden?
At their homes,
okay.
People who come.
So yeah. You come and you get set up with all the seeds that you need already.
Probably some samples. I don't know that we'll cover everybody's needs. And some things have probably, you know, people have already started a lot of things, especially indoors. But by mid-April, it'll be a good time. The soil will be warm enough to start a lot of things in the garden. Maybe not warm enough for tomatoes yet, but some other things that we can grow.
Yeah. Are you able to grow any plants in the sheds, or are they only storage?
Just
it's not
storage.
Like a greenhouse.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Just storage. Yeah.
And what day will that class be?
We do our classes on Saturday. So a couple of weeks ago, we did an edible garden design class. We held that indoors at the college. And, you know, hopefully if the weather cooperates, we'll do this one outside in the garden.
It's a lot more fun to get to do them out in
the
garden.
It's much better, yeah. And we usually do tours after those classes, and people can go and see the garden and see what we're doing and ask questions.
Are there going to be any events later in the year?
Yes, there will be another session or two outside for the Grow Your Own series. But then once the exhibits that our apprentices are going to work on, we'll do an open house where they can come, the public can come and look at the exhibits and get a presentation from the apprentices who are working those.
When do apprentices join the gardens?
Good question. Right now, they're pretty buried in coursework.
Studying up.
It's a very rigorous program, as all of us know. And they'll be starting to get some of their volunteer hours probably starting at the beginning of April, but really in earnest in May.
Mm-hmm. Do you have specific work times in the garden where people from the public can come and talk with master gardeners?
Well, we will. Right now, we're not quite there yet. We want to communicate with all the apprentices who will be working in our gardens, as well as any returning master gardeners who want to do projects in the garden, and we'll set a time that's mutually convenient. Last year, we did Wednesdays, and so people can either come then or contact Carita, who's the other co-lead, or myself, and would gladly meet people there and tour the garden.
By appointment?
Yeah, it would be by appointment for now. We need to revisit the issue of locking the garden. I know that was initially done because of the sheds weren't locked, and I think there might have been some vandalism that very first year. So right now we've had to do that. When we put up the solar panel, if we can find a way to secure that, then I think we should open the garden and just make it available to the public.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's kind of the point.
Sort of make it a community space in some ways as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the idea is to demonstrate some best practices in gardening and do some interesting things that people might not think about. And if you can't get in there and access it, you know, walk around and stick your fingers in the ground, then it's not as fun.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Is there anything else you want to share about the garden?
I think just in general terms, that's it. We have lots of opportunities for master gardeners to come and participate. We hope eventually to be able to open it up for community members, like Lincoln City does with a bed, but those are in the planning stage.
Mm-hmm.
We're holding the Grow Your Own series at the community college, which is at 3120 South Crestline Drive. If you're coming from Waldport, and you go up on the hill, it's right past the high school, and there's a big sign for the community college, as well as garden signs. We have ones for the demonstration garden outside. We're holding the classes on Saturdays. The next one is April 18th, from noon to 1:30. Usually runs till about 1, with presentation and some discussion and questions, and then we have extra time in case we want to go to see the garden or...
Perfect. That all sounds great. Thank you so much for joining us to let listeners know about what's happening at the Waldport Demo Garden.
You're very welcome. It's a pleasure. I hope people will come visit us.
To switch gears to talk about what to plant in your garden right now, I'd like to share some information about growing snap peas. Snap peas can be planted right now in gardens across Lincoln County. To aid in the germination of your peas, give them a boost by soaking them overnight before sowing the peas in the ground. An easy way to do this is to place them in a damp paper towel, either in a plastic bag with a small spritz of water or on a plate with a small amount of water. Another way that you can support the growth of your peas is by inoculating the soil. While that might sound technical, there's not much to it. Peas and legumes more generally have robust symbiotic microbial relationships. In the root systems of the plants, bacteria and fungus help the plants by converting atmospheric nitrogen that plants can't use into ammonium, which is a nitrogen form that plants can uptake for healthier and more robust growth. To inoculate the soil, you add some of the bacteria or fungi that the plants form relationships with to the soil right before you plant your peas, giving them the opportunity to form that symbiotic relationship that makes peas grow well. A few years back at the South Beach Demonstration Garden, the Lincoln County Master Gardeners grew some peas in inoculated soil and some in normal soil, and it certainly made a difference. Peas grew faster, larger, and healthier in the inoculated soil than the normal soil, but you can also replicate this experiment in your own garden to see how it works for you. That's it for our program this week. But tune in for future broadcasts on KYAQ Newport. You can find out how to contact us with all your gardening questions on our website, www.orcoastmga.org, where we'll also be putting these episodes after they air if you need another listen. We'd also love to hear your subject suggestions for future episodes of the Lincoln County Gardener. This broadcast is created by the Lincoln County Master Gardener Association, who work in collaboration with the Oregon State University Extension Services. Until next time, happy gardening!